Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, I saw Chip Kelly after Ohio State won the national championship on Monday night. Bumped into him in the hallway. Coaches at Ohio State were leaving the box. Here comes Chip Kelly out of the coaching box. He's got a pen clenched between his teeth. He's wearing an Ohio State ball cap. He's got a black backpack, and he's struggling to put his notebook into the backpack and zip it up. And he's got one leg on his sweatpants that's pulled up high, so I could see his calf and his tube sock and everything. And he just looked like a kid who was running late for the school bus. And I saw him, and he saw me, and I said congratulations. And I didn't really know what to say, though, as he was walking by, and I just fist bumped him. Said, you know, congrats. And I thought, what do you say to Chip Kelly? Like, do you finally got one? Or is it in his mind not really like winning like it would have been in 2011 when Oregon won the national, or Oregon went to the national championship game against Auburn and lost? It's not the same, is it? Wouldn't it have been a bigger deal when you're the head coach? Of course it would. Nick Cody, former Oregon Duck, joining us now. How are you, man? How did it feel for you to see Chip Kelly break through?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, John. Thanks for having me on. I hope you feel better soon. Number one, it's a little always weird seeing Coach Kelly in the scarlet and gray. He definitely looks better in green, but I'm happy for him. You know, I didn't really watch the game live. I had plans to go to a concert, get away from it, but somehow there before the concert, I'm at Yard House, and of course, the only thing on every single TV is the game, so I'm able to watch Ohio State get that early lead, and I was thinking, good for Chip. He really came out there in this postseason and showed the value he really brought to this team.
When you were back in Oregon, you know, you played for three head coaches. Is that right? You recruited by Bilotti.
No, just Bilotti and Chip.
Just Bilotti and Chip. Okay, so the Helfrich era comes after you, but what was that like to see Chip Kelly as a young head coach? And certainly you guys, with Boise State, you were at the game where LeGarrette Blount throws the punch. You're part of that rise of Chip Kelly at Oregon. Take us through it. Like, did you see at the beginning that Chip Kelly was going to be Chip Kelly, or did it take some time?
I mean, it all happened really, really fast, and most people will tell you about that, you know, with their college experience, that, you know, it's gone in a blink, whether you're there for 3 years or, you know, the full five, or nowadays when they give you 7, 8, or 9, I'm sure all these guys will end up saying, man, it happened so fast. But I do remember, even as a recruit, just when I was starting to get recruited by football programs, there was a buzz about this guy coming from New Hampshire that was changing offenses out on the West Coast, and that was Chip Kelly. And, you know, growing up in the age I did, as a part of the 2008 recruiting class, I was really, really big on, I wanted to be a part of a team that could contend for a national championship, because, you know, coming from Brush Prairie, Washington, and Hawkinson High School, and a brand new football program, we weren't able to contend for much on that level. So I knew that, you know, I had the talent to perform wherever I committed to, and I just wanted it to be for a team that could eventually play for a national championship. And, you know, when Chip took over, it was a little bit of a surprise. I think everybody was a little taken back, especially those of us in Bilotti's last recruiting class, because it was kind of a quick transition, but I think they saw the value in not only, you know, the offense and execution that Chip brought, but just his vision for the program and overall his mentality. And I think he's carried that everywhere he go with a little bit of tweaks. And it's been really fun to watch. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that he talked about changing the rep count this year. And you know, I really think that longevity, I mean, man, that helps. And I sure wish he'd learned that with some of our guys back in the day, because our rep counts were damn high.
Yeah, give me an idea, because Chip said he didn't want to snap the ball 100 times a game this year because he recognized it was going to be a 16-game schedule. He was shooting more for, like, in a 12-game schedule, he wanted to snap maybe 700 snaps. And I thought that was a really interesting philosophy. How did that come about? Like, because you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you had calls that, you know, you would go out onto the field. Is the offense yelling one word and you know what the play is? Or how did the play calls come in that time?
That we had all different kinds of ways to bring them in, and the offense always kind of evolved and tweaked different ways year to year. But we had it efficiently to a point by my junior and senior year that even out there in the Rose Bowl game against Wisconsin, we would have a one-word call that was three plays that basically designated, okay, the first play, we're going to run a rollout. Second play, immediately line up, run inside zone into the boundary, then run, you know, power right into the boundary. And we'd have calls like that that were just three basic plays that we knew we could just run them, line up faster than anybody else. And it was basically as quick as the refs can spot the ball, we could run it just basically off one word. And, you know, individual calls and, you know, as the offense, you know, the standard offense went, you know, we had signals and different kind of calls for the line and different things the wide receivers would watch. But we eventually got it down to terms where, especially in our up-tempo portions of practice, we could just say one word and we knew the next three plays. And, you know, unless we were going to be punting or something like that. So there'd usually be a first down call right after a first down. So essentially you do that right. You've got four plays right in a row right after you get a first down. And, you know, that was really, really hard for teams to catch up with until they kind of changed the format of the spotting of the ball and the allowing of substitution. And all these other things that kind of evolved with the game.
Nick Cody with us, four-star recruit, went to Oregon, kid from Brush Prairie, Washington. Nick, I remember that on the sidelines, you guys used to hold up a big giant placard. It would have four different pictures on it. I wrote about it once, and I kind of made fun of it. The very next week, my face shows up on that placard. It was kind of an F you back to me or a joke back to me. Is it true the placards meant nothing, that they were just a distraction, or did they mean something?
Yeah, for the most part, they were a decoy. I think maybe in a once in a while, there might have been a single call that we might have had out of there, but it wasn't something that we relied upon. I believe it was particularly in response to when Aaron Flugrad transferred, especially since his dad, Robin Flugrad, was a former wide receiver coach. That they had to really change up a lot of the calls. And then I know that Arizona State was coming in on some of our calls, so we started introducing that and some of the different kind of sideline dressing you can do to kind of just distract people from what actually is a play call and what isn't.
I am fascinated by sort of whether you think Chip Kelly will want to be a head coach again, or do you think, because there's so much NIL, portal, head coaching duties that he didn't love to do, right? The recruiting part is not his thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think Chip just stays as a coordinator forever, or does he want to be a coach again in your mind?
Well, that is such an interesting question when you consider that, like, the really special thing for me, you know, looking at is one of his former players, is he got to win a national championship with one of those former players at New Hampshire. And that's something that's really cool. And you just know from that kind of experience and the kind of bond that they had, you know, Chip had him come with him to the NFL. So that's obviously a bond between those guys that's going to be really, really important in terms of that decision. And I don't, you know, have enough information to be able to tell you on that. But based on, you know, the competitive nature of Coach Kelly, I definitely think no matter what it is, he wants to be able to compete at the top tier in college football or the NFL if he gets back there. But I think that wasn't looking like an opportunity that was going to be presented to him as the head coach at UCLA. So I think, you know, as long as the ride keeps going with Ohio State, you know, unless he can find the right situation where he can compete against his his former quarterback, you know, that'd be a fun game to see because, you know, they both bring it. And I think until he can find an opportunity like that, which probably isn't too many seasons away if he keeps it up the way he has.
Yeah, I think if he wanted to be a head coach, I think somebody would hire him tomorrow. And maybe there's an element now that you've seen guys like Bill Belichick go to Carolina and essentially say, hey, we can set this up like an NFL franchise. Chip Kelly's the coach. Somebody else is the GM. You might have a path there. Nick Cody is with us. Hey, Nick, I got to ask you, you know, you are obviously a guy that has done things after football. You are doing some stand-up comedy. You got to show that you just did, what was it, last Saturday you did a show, and now you got another one coming up in February, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. A monthly show up here in Linwood at a nice family-owned brewery called Peace of Mind. It happens just about every third Saturday of the month. This next month will be February 22nd, George Washington's birthday, for those of you not aware. And yeah, it's been really, really good. I think this will be my 17th or 18th Tapped Out show I've produced, and it's been really fun. I was actually really lucky this last show to have a guest of yours and colleague, Carl Click, come up, brought his guitar up, did some songs and some jokes for the audience, and he sold about 10, 11 tickets. So it was awesome. Had a crowd of about 60, 65 folks in there, all laughing and having a good time. And always good times, and I'm always looking for more comics and audience members, obviously. But there's been a lot of interest from the Portland, Vancouver, and even Eugene area. And anytime those guys are coming up from, in the Seattle area and I can book them on a weekend, it's great. So anybody that wants to reach out, just find Tapped Out Comedy on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and just go ahead and reach out to me there. And I have a form for every comedian that wants to sign up for it. And we got to have Carl Click back again soon. He was great.
How? What did he do? Does he play a guitar? What does he do? Does comedy while singing?
Yeah, he starts out with a little bit of guitar work and some songs. And fortunately, he requested the audience sing for a little bit. So we learned that the audience was just as musically challenged as some of our comics were challenged. So we had a really good time, though. Everybody killed it. And I can't wait to have him up here again.
Nick Cody with us, former four-star offensive lineman, recruited to the University of Oregon. Played for Mike Bellotti, played for Chip Kelly. I got to ask you, because Mark Helfrich was a coordinator while you were there, and he went on to be the head coach. Were you surprised that Helfrich got him to the title game and then struggled? Or what did you see with Helfrich's personality and coaching? You know, was he a head coach?
I guess the best way I can, well, first I got to answer, I wasn't surprised. It was pretty obvious my senior year that he was taking more complete control of offensive meetings and play calling duties. And the best thing I can say, though, is I just never really bought that he had the personality that you need to have as a head coach. And you could do it a lot of different ways, but there was just something that felt very, I don't want to say inauthentic, but guarded. And, you know, I never knew if I got to know the real Coach Helfrich, and, you know, sometimes jokes just didn't land, but I always liked him as a person. I just still remember, and the first time I actually met him was outside the facility, and he was taking a quarterback recruit around. It might have been former Oregon quarterback Brian Bennett, but as I recall, I hadn't even really been introduced to him yet, and he had just been, you know, hired for a couple weeks during our winter workouts or something like that, and he had introduced me to the recruit, and he knew who I was. So it was kind of that awkward first meeting where I'm like playing like, yeah, hey, coach, how's it going? And ever since that point, like that always, when I go back and I think about the kind of personality it takes to be a head coach, there's just a different way of doing that, you know? And I've always thought, just with when I came back and talked to foreign players and, you know, just the things going on at the time, it really felt like they were just trying to keep the momentum going, which definitely had the talent, especially on the offensive and defensive lines back in those days and at quarterback. But at the end of the day, it wasn't, you're not able to continue to do the same things and get the same results because everybody's constantly trying to get better.
You had Marcus Mariota as a quarterback in that era. And, you know, he was a young guy as you were kind of aging out of the system, but what was he like?
Oh, I was aged out. I was aged out. You could say it.
What was he like? Like, cause you got a peek at him as a young guy in his early years. You know, did you at that time? Did you see, hey, Heisman Trophy winner, NFL quarterback, or what was he like?
You saw sprinkles of that for sure. He was quiet, but he was mature, and he was a leader, and he was a guy that you knew. You know, like Coach Radcliffe, our strength and conditioning coach, always kind of instituting us be a make your bed in the morning guy. And he's definitely one of those guys you knew already made his bed every single morning and was prepared for any situation thrown at him. So we knew with that and some of the arm talent that he'd displayed already as a redshirt in practices that we'd seen, he was going to be something special. And always with the Heisman, it's much more than an individual award. It really is dependent on the team around you. And, you know, he really was the most valuable player in college that year. And good on all those guys for being able to not only go and get that individual award for him, but go as far as they did, get the first playoff win in college football history and in big fashion against a former Heisman winner. I mean, all the pride in the world getting to have played with that guy and started next to him for six games. So really appreciate it. But yeah, by about that sixth game, I didn't have a rep count, so I was washed.
Did you? And you had to be in really good shape, right? I mean, you must have conditioned like none other.
Yeah, and definitely, and like practices were way, way harder than games. You got into games and felt pretty good, but some, you know, just the amount of reps we were getting through in practice was tough. And by the time, you know, I'd been there 5 years, I definitely had, you know, no matter how good a shape I was in, there'd be lingering back, hip, ankle injuries. And, you know, thankfully, knees were mostly pretty good. But, yeah, you can understand why a lot of players, you know, especially late in these seasons, now that they're adding more games, if you're going to be an offensive lineman and already be in an injury situation that like Ohio State was, it's brilliant that Chip had him on a rep count, and it makes a whole lot of sense.
All right, Nick Cody, Tapped Out Comedy is coming up Saturday, February 22nd. Where can people get pre-sale tickets?
Everybody can go right now for information. And anytime, I always update it monthly, tappedout.eventbrite.com. That's our platform for selling tickets for the entire year of 2025. And I'll be updating that all the time. But as always, follow us on social media for any more updates or any changes to the lineup.
Nick Cody, I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for sharing some of that insight. There he goes. Leave it here. Our big splash coming up.